For much of my life, I had a pretty high opinion of my ability to perform for God. I remember a conversation with my dad when I was 16, and we were discussing an area of failure in my life, and I made this statement: "You know, Dad, if it wasn't for this one area, I wouldn't really have any struggles with sin." I felt like I was performing well, and God was probably pretty happy to have me on his team. I went to church, I read my Bible, I was on the music team, I was homeschooled. And this was back in the day, I even wore the Dockers and the button-down, tucked-in shirt. It seemed to me that my helmet of salvation was probably covered with performance stickers representing all the big plays that I had made for God. As my life continued, I became dangerously similar to the elder brother from Jesus' story about the prodigal son. Jesus created this character of the elder brother as a representation of some of the Jewish leaders of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees. And if anyone had a performance worth celebrating, it was the scribes and Pharisees. They would have sneered at my performance for God. They'd have been like, "Barry, congratulations. So you made it through Leviticus and you read through the Bible in a year plan. Please." I memorized Leviticus and Genesis and Exodus and Numbers and Deuteronomy in the original Hebrew by the time I was 3. If there was anyone who could earn a performance sticker for their helmet, it was the scribes and Pharisees. But in Luke chapter 15, Jesus has a warning for the scribes and Pharisees. In Luke chapter 15, they're grumbling because Jesus is hanging out with these people who have a terrible performance record. These tax collectors and sinners, they were the scum of society. And to the Pharisees, like, "Are you kidding me, Jesus? How can you accept into your social circle people with such a terrible performance record?" And so Jesus tells them 3 stories. And in each story, there is divine celebration of these sinners with their terrible performance record. And this morning, we're going to look at the 3rd story. The story of the prodigal son, except for we're not going to focus on the prodigal. We did that some last week, and we're going to do that more next week. Today, we're going to zoom in almost exclusively on this character of the elder brother, because Jesus has a message for elder brothers in this passage, and the message is this: your acceptance is not based on your performance. Your acceptance is not based on your performance. Your acceptance by the Father is not based on your performance for the Father. And to make this point, Jesus tells a story to the scribes and Pharisees, and he's saying to them, in essence, you are like an elder brother working on his dad's farm. And one day, you're in the field, and you come near to the house, and as you come near, you hear music, and you hear dancing. And so you ask a servant, "What's going on?" And the servant tells you, "Well, your brother's returned, and your dad has killed the fattened calf to celebrate." And you're thinking, "My brother? Why would my dad celebrate my brother? My brother who, for all practical purposes, spit in my dad's face when he grabbed his inheritance early and skipped town. And then, to make matters worse, he squandered it on prostitutes and wild living. And then, just when you thought that he couldn't sink any lower, he took a job working with pigs." Pigs, forbidden to the Jews, forbidden by God. Pigs are unclean. "My brother is unclean. And if this celebration is about my disgrace of a brother, I want nothing to do with it." So your father comes out and he entreats you to come in, but you are angry. And so you answer him, "How can you accept this son of yours onto the team? Have you ever seen him play? Have you even watched him perform? He can't, his defense can't stop any sin at all. If a prostitute dribbles up to him with the ball, she's going to score. And he can't score any points for your kingdom. You see him out in the field making any buckets? You see him getting anything accomplished? No, we cut players like that from the team. We don't celebrate them, and we certainly don't hold a press conference party to let everyone know that we've accepted that guy onto our team. You want to know who deserves to be on your team? Check out my performance. I'm scoring points like crazy. All these years, I have served you. I'm scoring points planting a church. I'm scoring points on the music team. I'm scoring points on the kids team. I'm scoring points attending a connection group. My theology is great. My humility is unparalleled. My defense stops every sin in its tracks. I have never disobeyed you. I'm basically LeBron James, except I would never leave our team for another team. So how is it that that son of yours gets a fattened calf, but I can't even get a young goat? If you give that kind of money to a player who doesn't even deserve to be on the bench, then I deserve a max contract. Of course, if we look a little closer, the elder brother's performance is not as stellar as he thinks. He's filled with anger. He's filled with bitterness. He's filled with jealousy. Elder brothers are frequently angry with the way their life is going. Elder brothers are frequently bitter at the doors that remain closed to them. Elder brothers are frequently jealous of the opportunities that someone else is getting. Because deep down, elder brothers believe that their performance deserves more. And you know what's possibly the worst thing that we see when we look at the elder brother? He's completely blind to his sin. Not only is he minimizing his anger, minimizing his bitterness, minimizing his jealousy, but he's unaware of his disobedience. The father comes out to him and entreats him to come in, and he says, no. Then in the very next breath, he says, I never disobey you. You're disobeying him right now. He doesn't realize it, but he's in a pig pen of his own. Prodigals find themselves in visible pig pens, but at least they know they're in one. Elder brothers live in invisible pig pens, and all too often, they're completely blind to it. Ultimately, here's the sad truth when we look at this character of the elder brother. In spite of all his performance, he's still on the outside looking in. That brings us to a question. If your acceptance is not based on your performance, then what is it based on? And I'd like to answer that by sharing one of the lowest moments of my life. Some years back, I failed in a manner that would hurt some people I cared about were it to become known. And so I buried my failure deep inside. I decided to keep this secret. I decided that no one should ever know. But shortly after, I had this, actually it was a bizarre conversation, but it was this very unexpected conversation that threatened to bring my failure right out into the open. And I had an opportunity at that moment to come clean and to make things right. But I didn't. I was too concerned with my performance image. To me, in that moment, my acceptance was on the line, because to an elder brother, acceptance is tied to performance, and I couldn't be associated with that performance. And so in the panic of the moment, I covered everything up. And I denied any wrongdoing. I was the elder brother in the invisible pig pen. And one of the most painful memories, one of the most painful couple days that I can recall was that night and the next morning and the next day when I had to go to my wife, I had to go to some family members, I had to go to a friend, went to my pastor, and I had to confess the whole story. And I had to confess not only my initial failure, but I also had to confess that I had covered it up. I had hidden it. You want to know what happens when the Pharisee finds out that he is also the prodigal? I'll tell you. Since my acceptance was based on my performance and I had failed my performance test, I could no longer accept myself because Pharisees are repulsed by prodigals. And so this shame swept over me that was so intense. I couldn't stand to be around myself. I was trying to figure out, how can I get away from myself? Is there some way I could just pull myself out of my skin? Because I don't want to be associated with that guy. I don't want to be associated with a guy who has that kind of a performance record. But I couldn't get away from me. And so I ended up just paralyzed by this dark cloud of shame that came over me. But God in his grace, a few days later, he parted those clouds and he shone his light down into my life. I was driving in my car and I was praying, struggling, hurting. And as I was praying, I began to quote Romans 8:1, which says, "There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." But I couldn't finish quoting the verse before I just got hit by weeping. I began to sob in the car. I remember thinking, how can there be no condemnation? That's ridiculous. Seeing the depth of my sin for what it was made this verse seem absurd. How could there be no condemnation for someone in my sort of performance pig pen? So I pulled over to the side of the road and I kind of regathered myself and I began to pray again and I started to quote the verse again. There is therefore now no condemnation. But again, I couldn't even finish quoting the verse before I just started bawling because I realized what God was saying to me right now in the middle of my performance failure, right now in this very moment, there was no condemnation. I didn't need 2 months of performance track record before I could start entering into the no condemnation. The no condemnation promise wasn't just for those who had never had a performance failure. Right now, in the midst of my deceit and my failure and my cover-up, right now, right then, there was no condemnation. And you say, well, Barry, how can there be no condemnation? And the reason there's no condemnation is because of the third son in this story. There's a third son, not just the prodigal, not just the elder brother. The third son is the one telling the story. And the name of the third son is Jesus. And my acceptance was based on his performance. And that is the truth that God used to part the clouds and to begin to bring restoration to my soul. Friends, when you are devastated by rediscovering your inner prodigal, look to the performance of Christ for your acceptance. Abandon all confidence in human performance because the reason that there's no condemnation is that Jesus came down and he stepped into the pig pen. Jesus came down from heaven and he lived among the unclean. He lived among broken humanity. And at the cross, he took the punishment for our poor performance. At the cross, he was stripped of his robe and he was clothed with my pig slop. He died clothed with the pig slop of my failure and my cover-up. He died clothed not only with the pig slop of the younger brother's prostitution and wild living, he died clothed with the pig slop of elder brother's anger and elder brother's jealousy and elder brother's bitterness and elder brother's disobedience. And that is a performance worth celebrating. That is a performance worthy of acceptance by the Father. And that is the performance that my acceptance is based on. Your acceptance is based on. Your acceptance is based on Christ's performance. Christ performed perfectly because we couldn't. And because he did, we don't have to. Let's pray. God, we're so grateful that we're not at the mercy of our performance. God, we're so grateful that you came down and you did what we couldn't, and you did the unthinkable, stepping into our pig pen and being clothed with our shame so that we could be freed from the bondage of performance, freed from the bondage of shame. And God, I ask this morning that there would arise hope in our hearts, there would arise faith in our hearts, that we can look to Christ as the ultimate performer, Christ as the one who has won the battle for us. Christ who died not only for prodigals, but who also died for elder brothers. And God, I ask that as we sing this next song, that it would be true that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. And our hope is not based on our performance. I ask that no one here today would be left on the outside looking in, but we would put our faith in what Christ did on the cross so that we can be a part of the celebration with the Father. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.